Welcome to the Faculty Workshop Podcast, where faculty learn the most successful strategies used by other educators. Whether you are looking for ways to improve your teaching, your productivity, or simply looking for professional development opportunities, we've got you covered. And now, your host, Dr. Fawaz Al-Maloud.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Faculty Workshop Podcast, the podcast for college educators. I'm your host, Dr. Fawaz Al-Maloud from facultyworkshop.com, and in today's show, I'd like to share with you 5 time management tips. You know, I have yet to come across a college or a university that requires all of their students to take any course in time management before they graduate. It's mind-boggling. We in the United States require students to take a whole bunch of general education courses that they'll rarely, if ever, use after they graduate. We argue that it makes them well-rounded graduates, but we won't require them to take courses on topics that they will need and benefit from every day of their life during and after college. Courses like money management, personal financing, and time management. Some of these students eventually become professors, never having learned how to manage their time effectively. I meet a lot of faculty who want to get a lot of things done. They want to accomplish great things in academia, but find themselves working around the clock and barely accomplishing anything. They're able to meet the basic obligations of their duties and nothing more. Why is it that some faculty seem to be involved in so many exciting activities and projects in addition to teaching, while others are barely keeping their heads above water? The answer is time management. For faculty who want to have a rich academic experience that goes beyond the classroom, the key is developing great time management skills. There's been a lot said and published about time management, and I'm a firm believer in it. It's one of my secrets to success and how I am able to get things done. I'm by no means smarter than other people, but I have developed an uncanny ability to manage my time and focus on tasks and see them through. At the time of this podcast, I am currently teaching 4 classes, supervising multiple adjunct faculty, running 2 very successful programs at the college, hospitality management and culinary arts, serving on the executive board for the Academic Senate, chairing 2 task forces, serving as a club advisor, managing 2 grants with a 3rd on its way, managing 4 websites, and the list goes on. It's a lot, but I enjoy it and I'm grateful for the opportunity to serve others. Here's how I'm able to do all of these things and still have a personal life and spend time with my family and my adorable Great Dane. You can do the same by implementing the following 5 tips. Tip number 1, get organized. And there are 2 parts to getting organized in my book. The first part is declutter. Make sure that you have a place for everything and develop the habit of using these places. Create a place for your keys, your books, equipment, clothes, files, and everything else that you use. Clutter is the antithesis of organization. The second part is preparation. In my former profession, hospitality management, we used a French phrase that embodied the spirit of organization. That phrase was mise en place, which loosely translated to everything in its place or setting up. Before you begin any task, make sure that you have everything that you need and ready in place. It's a form of organization that forces you to plan ahead and be prepared. This process increases your productivity and efficiency by leaps and bounds. Be surgical about this approach. Consider what would happen if a surgeon walked into a surgery and none of the instruments he or she needed were ready. They weren't sanitized, organized, or in place for use. This lack of organization would probably kill some of the patients who would have to wait while each instrument is readied. If you happen to be one of the few people who are naturally organized, move on to the next tip. Tip number 2, schedule everything. In the words of the great management guru, Dr. Peter Drucker, What gets scheduled gets done. Develop the habit of creating a task list on a daily basis and schedule them as well as your other activities in a calendar. So what should you include in your calendar? Well, when you first start off, I would recommend including everything in your calendar. Some people believe that you should only schedule appointments, but the problem with that is that it leaves your calendar looking mostly empty, which creates the illusion that you are free or available. The truth is that there are probably other things that occupy a portion of your time that had you listed on your calendar, you would realize that you don't really have much free time, or as much free time as you thought you did. Things like your morning routine, your teaching blocks, your commute, your office hours, and other activities. Create categories for the activities that you need to schedule and list each scheduled item under the respective categories. My calendar includes 8 color-coded categories. The first one is personal. This is where I basically list any personal engagements, appointments, or meetings. The second category that I have are assignments. This is where I will list the deadlines for assignments that my students need to complete. My third category are classes. This is where I will list all of the classes that I teach during the week. My fourth category is my club meetings. As the advisor of the Hospitality Management Club, I meet with my students several times a week, so I have a category just for those meetings. My fifth category is a general category for all other college-related activities, and this could be appointments or meetings with other colleagues, committees that I may be involved in, or time slots when I had to evaluate adjunct faculty. My sixth category is a list of my office hours, followed by 7, my schedule for being at the Academic Senate, and my 8th and final category is my calendar or my schedule for my Senate Executive Board meetings. Color coding makes it easier for me to identify things on my calendar so that they don't all look the same. This brings us to tip number 3, plan ahead. When scheduling tasks on your calendar, be sure to schedule a start date and time as well as your deadlines. Most people only schedule deadlines, which is why they always find themselves scrambling at the last minute to meet a deadline. They scramble because they forgot to set a time aside in their schedule to work on their tasks. They only listed the task completion date. I used to be one of those people until I finally figured it out. I thought having a calendar and scheduling deadlines made me efficient. But it didn't, because my method was flawed. It was missing a key component. I needed to tell myself when to start working on a task. So when using your calendar, be sure to schedule each task and the deadlines twice. First, schedule the deadline and then ask yourself, when do I need to begin working on this task so that I can get it done on time without stressing out or cramming? Once you've answered that question, schedule that particular start date in your calendar. Tip number 4, avoid overload. Say no. Lucille Ball once said, if you want something done, ask a busy person to do it. The more things you do, the more you can do. I love this saying because it is so true for many people. Busy people who get things done are usually the first to be asked to do something new or more because they have a reputation for getting things done. I'm frequently asked to do more despite the fact that I'm already extremely busy, and the people who ask me already know this. I find it flattering to be invited to serve on task forces, hiring committees, advisory boards, consulting panels, and I love being involved in new things and working with different groups of people. But that doesn't mean that I will accept every invitation that I receive. There comes a time when you reach a point of diminishing returns and your participation is no longer effective, and the quality of your work and your contribution begins to suffer. You'll be doing yourself and the people you work with a disservice if you allow yourself to get to the point where you can no longer be effective. So you need to learn to scale back and realize that it is far better to do a few things extremely well than many things poorly. So while it might be tempting to accept new challenges, tasks, and projects, be very selective about them and set a limit as to how many you will be involved in. Besides, if you say yes to everything, you'll soon realize that your work has taken over your life, which, by the way, is a very bad thing. So learn to say no. Tip number 5, and this is my final tip. Get efficient. Use technology. There was a time when an organizer or a file of facts were the best tools available to stay organized. But times have changed, and so must we. There are far more efficient tools available than the traditional organizer to help us stay connected and organized. Each of these digital tools has their pros and their cons, so you'll need to evaluate each one and see what works best for your needs. I personally prefer keeping things simple and consolidated. This is why Google and their products are my first level of organization. They're easy to use and they beautifully sync with my smartphone. Here's a list of the technology that I personally use to stay organized. 1. Google Calendar. I love this calendar because it offers so many features. I'm able to easily schedule my events, tasks, I can share them easily with people, I can even add a video call to future meetings. I also love the calendar search feature. It makes it super easy for me to locate past or future events on my calendar. I no longer have to flip through pages in a traditional calendar to find stuff. The second Google product that I like to use is Gmail. Although I have a .edu email for work purposes, Gmail allows me to create multiple outgoing email addresses and canned responses. So I can actually send emails from my work email address through Gmail. I use a canned response plugin that is available through Gmail Labs to respond to frequently asked type of emails, like requests for recommendation letters from students. Canned responses allows me to create a response and save it so that if I need to reuse it again in the future, all I have to do is just click a button rather than having to retype out an entire email. The third Google product that I like using is Google Hangouts. Scheduling meetings with faculty, staff, and students can be a challenge given each person's availability, geographic location, and access to a meeting or conference room to meet in. When possible, I now schedule my meetings through Google Hangouts. It allows me and the group I am meeting with to be able to meet online regardless of where we are located. As long as you have a broadband connection, a webcam, and a microphone, you can hold a virtual meeting anywhere around the world. Google Hangouts includes some amazing features that allows you to share files, text chat, share access to a Google Drive, and record and publish a meeting to YouTube if you choose to. It takes a little bit of time in the beginning to get people used to using it and learning how to implement the features it offers. But once they get the hang of it, you'll find that it is a huge time saver and very convenient. You don't even need a computer to hold a Google Hangouts meeting anymore. You can do it from a smartphone. Although I personally prefer using a computer. So, to recap, the 5 tips that will help you better manage your time are 1. Get organized and declutter. 2. Schedule everything. 3. Plan ahead. 4. Avoid overload, say no. And 5. Get efficient, use technology. Well, I hope you learned a lot from this episode and found value in it. This podcast would not exist if it weren't for your interest and support. So I want to thank you for tuning in and making this podcast a part of your day. If you're finding this podcast helpful, please share it with other faculty. I'd also like to invite you to head on over to facultyworkshop.com to read some of our other articles or to ask a question that you'd like to have answered on this show. That's it for this episode. Until next time, take care and God bless.